From cradle to grave, every moment of your life is one word after another, overlapping all the words from all of those who've crossed your path in a never-ending cycle of tale and experience. The concept is simple. The guest chooses the theme, the coin is flipped, and the winner is the first to tell a story based on their chosen theme. The loser gets to share a second. There are no prizes, no contests, no rules, and no boundaries. Just a few minutes spent exchanging the narrative from moments of our own human existence. Welcome to Tell Me a Story. Okay.
Yes.
So once upon a time.
I don't want to talk. I'm just.
I'll just listen to you.
This. I was like, before, you know, get a little nervous, but I'm good. I'm good.
But I've seen your interviews. You're pretty good. Do they cut the first few minutes off?
Yes.
Okay.
No, this is good. I'm glad we kind of shot the shit beforehand because
it's what I do. Yeah. It's like, well, Ethan Persoff, you remember him from back in the day?
Yes, vaguely.
Back in the Denver. He was running around. He was one of Nate. I'm sorry. Nate. Whatever. It was one of his tool arounds. So that was kind of the wing he came from.
Okay.
And we did. We've seen each other, he and I, once. When in Denver, because he lives out in Texas.
He is.
And I live in fucking Utah. And so I went back to Denver for the 2008 Democratic Convention. We hooked up and spent 10 minutes together. That's it. And that was, the quickest. So,
and then you were off.
No, I had to go back to the convention and he had to go and be inappropriate. Whatever he was doing. He does some really subversive stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to send you over a couple of his links.
He's going to get me flagged?
No. Just some really goofy shit. I don't know. I love it. I look at his website nearly every day, at least once a week.
That's awesome.
Oh, fucking chair. So, all right. So there came a day almost around 20 years ago, give or take.
Wow, when it's been that long.
One day, Denver was a bright and shiny place for me. I had shucked off the culture shock of moving to the big city from the tiny little farm town in which I was reared.
Denver, Colorado.
Yeah. And everybody I knew moved to fucking Chicago.
Yes.
Like you, Peter.
Pete.
Boys. Damien went to Chicago.
Damien did, yep.
Who else went with you?
Boyce went.
Who? But Boyce went.
I don't know. Yeah, Boyce. And my sister, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think your sister ever liked me very much, but I only met her a couple of times.
She doesn't like a lot of people.
No, but I mean, when you consider, as again, Ethan put it, I looked like I buttered my toast with Pearl Jam at the time. And I've had to explain that it came down to smoking cigarettes and eating versus buying new clothes. Of course my clothes are going to have holes in them. And the haircut came from not having enough money for haircuts until girls told me they liked my hair long. And I was like, well, I'm not cutting it. I need every advantage I can get. I'm pasty white. I've got no eyebrows.
I remember you did pretty well. I remember you did fairly well.
No, you remember that I was full of shit, and it worked for people to pay attention to me. But one of the things that I talked about with Damien was how that there was this small cadre of beautiful women that I had a crush on. The biggest crush I had, if you'll recall, sir, because I know you and I had a couple of late night talks about her, was Kiri Winkler.
Oh.
Yeah. I blew that by being me. I mean, okay, I say that like I had a shot, which I don't think I did, but still. And Danielle.
Yes.
And, of course, Inez.
Yes.
She was, those three, I know there were more around, but those three are, for me, when I first left the farm and came out to Denver. And it was Muddy's and Paris on the Platte. And you guys were at Paris on the Platte. It was you, Pete, Inez, Kiri, Danielle, and some other people. I don't remember. Cyril.
Fuck you.
I still remember because you got me the job there as a dishwasher. Yeah. And having that sneaky little 40-pound French guy sneak up on me and then say in that loud-ass voice of his, you know, "You're not doing the dishes fast enough." And I would go, "Gah!" And I'd drop something and break it. And he'd go, "Don't break the dishes."
Cyril's amazing.
Yeah. I liked him. I don't think he liked me very much. Or if he did.
That's just Cyril. Just Cyril, man. He didn't like a lot of people, you know.
No, but you were, admittedly, the reason I had to learn how to make a proper cappuccino.
Yeah.
You guys were talented sons of bitches.
That was my thing, man.
You did. You made beautiful foam, sir.
Thank you. See, I'm glad I have a witness. I tell people about it, they don't believe me.
No.
I still have my skills. I still throw down.
I remember the most impressive thing I ever saw and didn't know how impressive it was until I started working at an espresso machine at fucking Peaberry, you made cappuccino foam in a parfait glass.
Yes.
And that was hard. The perfect 1-inch top as you poured, and at the time I saw it, I was like, "Oh, that's pretty cool looking." And then I tried it once and made a huge mess.
Oh yeah, it's tough.
Yeah,
it's tough. Yeah. I'm going to chew my own horn here. I actually was so good at the time. I won an espresso machine.
Where?
I was working at this place called Torre Passione. And it was in Chicago, and I won like best barista of the month or something like that.
Wow.
And they gave me an espresso machine.
That's very nice. What brand? Do you remember?
I have no idea. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've had that thing.
Because I've had, now, what, later.
It wasn't awesome. I'm going to say right now, it wasn't a very good one.
It was probably one of those weird little pump-driven, steam-driven ones.
I think it might have been serious
heat exchanger.
Yeah,
because went into espresso machine repair a few years later.
Wow.
I ran a little company. I had business cards in Denver. I was the coffee commando.
What?
And
that's so amazing.
I know.
That's so Denver. That's so good.
Yeah. And then I went from there when I was out in Minnesota for a few years. Minnesota, by the way, at the time was the fourth largest coffee market in the world.
What?
They're Lutherans, and it's freezing fucking cold most of the year. And so you get out there, and they just drink coffee like it's the key to getting into heaven.
I had never heard that.
Yeah. And so I went out there and started working on espresso machines and actually was working on them.
It was kind of like a gold rush. It's kind of like you went out there, and you were like the only guy for a little while.
You know what? There was 11 of us total that did this. We were trained by... Nuova Simonelli came to America to train us. La Cimbali.
So when you say that, I was gonna ask you about that too, because a lot of times for the machines, they traditionally get like a guy from like Italy come and train.
I won a toolbox that was in an aluminum attaché case.
Wow.
The sexiest goddamn thing I have ever had in my life.
Wow.
And you open it up, and it was
amazingly pretentious, but it's just awesome.
Yeah, you go walk in it. And the thing is all of the guys that work there are basically Minnesota stout. You know, everybody's wearing flannel or whatever. At that time, I was going through a bowling shirt phase. don't you spit coffee. So all the other guys, they look like they should be working on tractors and shit out on the farm. Wow. And they come walking in with a $1,500 attaché case full of these very specialized tools.
With your bowling shirt.
And me and my bowling shirt. And shorts, usually.
Wow. That is an amazing picture.
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was kind of douchey. Douchey guys wear shorts in the winter. You remember that look? You remember that look? No. These chuckle-headed assholes with their fancy hiking boots, shorts, and parkas in Denver.
Oh, I remember that. Dude, that was...
These are the guys that all ended up driving Audis later.
Yeah.
If you have an Audi, I apologize.
Yep.
Do you have one?
What's that?
You're not driving an Audi, are you?
No. I drive a hybrid.
But of course you do, dear. You live out in the Bay.
Living out in NorCal, man, you know. What else am I supposed to drive?
You're driving around in a muscle car. People are going to think you're heckled. In a Vin Diesel movie.
Dude, when I first moved out here, I moved out here from New York. My wife owned a Ford Escape.
Wow.
Yeah. And when we came out here, I think people would watch us drive on the street and they would want to set our car on fire.
But you got to remind them that burning a car is bad for the environment.
Yeah. That's probably the only thing that saved us, actually.
See, I've got a 98 Ford Escort that has a 10-gallon tank and gets me 250 gallons every time I fill it, or 250 miles. And then we just bought a little Chevy Aveo. It's like a hatchback with no ass.
Wait, how old is this guy?
The Aveo is only about 3 years old.
What?
Yeah, it's a 6-speed stick. Wow. And it is. It's like a little hot hatch, but instead of having a hatchback, it just kind of gets to the back door and goes, phoom! You know, like
Scion-esque.
Yeah, like it has no ass.
Yeah.
And
that's the hotness, man.
Oh, dude, it's peppy. It's this little 4-cylinder race car. It's insane. And it gets worse gas mileage than my 98 Escort.
That's amazing. But I believe it.
It's driving a stick. It's like driving a race car.
Good stuff.
All right. Nice. So let me pull this back for a sec.
Yeah.
So you and the guys, y'all went out to Chicago to ostensibly get a degree in shit you already knew how to do. You, at least. And because Pete somehow ended up in video effects.
Yes.
I don't ever recall seeing a computer in your house.
Yeah, he went to, so we all went to film school. And Peter ended up, he wanted to be the director. He ended up going into visual effects. And at the time, what are you laughing?
What a prima donna he would have been. He would have been the screamy director standing
there. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
I can't work under these conditions.
I've seen him direct. He's very, loud. Like, what's going on?
And he's 9 feet tall.
Yeah. 9 feet tall, all arms.
Yeah, like the little guy. Like the little
flailing around.
Guy. Okay.
It's not a good thing, man. It's not a good thing.
So you all went out to film school.
Yes. And actually, at the time, I was going for 2D animation. So I wanted to go to Disney. You know, I wanted to be a Disney animator.
Well, sure.
And then I saw the movie that changed my life.
Okay.
And I saw Toy Story, the first Toy Story.
Joss while I was in Toy college. Story.
Yeah. The first one.
Yeah.
And it changed my life. And I decided, like, I need to learn 3D animation. Yeah. 2D. I think this 3D thing is going to be the way of the future. So I changed my major and took two more years in college before I got a job at a company called Big Idea. It was in Chicago.
Okay.
And I got a job there as a storyboard artist. I worked there for like 3 years. I was like one of the like two or three storyboard artists there. It was me. A really good friend of mine named Luis Contreras, I love the guy, who was basically, he was my instructor at the time, actually. He's the one who told me about the job, so, yeah. Cool. And that kind of, like, vaulted me into this, like, crazy arc that I'm in right now.
And you ended up somehow, where did you go? You ended up, you left Chicago and went to New York for a while?
I did. So what were you doing in New York? I worked at Big Idea. I worked there for, like I said, 3 years. I was actually... My junior year of college, I decided, like, you know what? I don't want to go to college. I don't want to spend my money here because it's just one of those things where I was working professionally and I was also, like, going to school. And I felt like I was just kind of learning more on the job than I was at school. So I quit school, worked full time at Big Idea. And then from there, I was able to, like, get a job at Blue Sky Studios in New York. So that's why I went out there. I got jobs as an animator, actually.
Nuts. Was that in 2D?
No.
What did they make?
What's that?
What did they make? What did you do for them?
So I worked on the first Ice Age movie. So, which
I love
is
that movie.
Yeah, I know. that was a magical movie for me. I don't care what anybody thinks. Ice Age was awesome. Working on that movie was great. It was a new crew. Yes.
Let me throw this out. Since we're telling the story.
Yes.
The first movie to a movie theater I took my stepson when I was still a courting his ma was to Ice Age. And we loved it. Now, the first movie he and I saw was Army of Darkness because I was babysitting him when his mom wasn't around. And I'm like, you know what you'll like?
That's amazing. How old was he at the time?
8.
That's awesome. That's so good.
That's not too bad. I remember still loves both movies.
My sister would leave my niece with me and my wife. And at the time, she was like 4 or 5. We would watch X-Files with her.
Oh, yeah.
And she would crowding next to us, like wide-eyed, looking fearful. And we were like, are you okay? And she's like, no, I'm good. And she's obviously terrifying.
Yeah.
And we just, and she's so well-adjusted now.
Have you
now.
Gone
she's
back and perfect. Watched any X-Files the last few years?
It's been a little while.
Yeah, because they're streaming now. And I went back and watched season 1 and just kept getting the giggles. Because you compare that with stuff that's out now, like Walking Dead or even from what I saw. Now, I don't know if you ever watched American Horror Story.
I've seen a couple.
I started watching the first season, and I believe it was the first episode. And Dylan McDermott, whom you might recall, used to be kind of a cool dude.
Yeah.
There's a scene with him spying on his neighbor out the window.
Yeah.
He's having a stand-up wank, and he just bursts into tears.
Yeah.
Like a boss, he finished. But still, there was something about a weepy standing wank by Dylan McDermott that went, you know what? I don't want to watch the show. And I've never gone back to it. And people I talk to that love it are like, how did that? It's like, it's Dylan McDermott. He was in a movie with Nancy Travis, for hell's sake.
I had many of the same feelings. I remember feeling like, this is weird. Like, I think I'm done. Like, I think
I get it. There's a hot redheaded maid that couldn't hold me.
Yeah.
Me.
She was really kind of like this old wench, right?
I didn't pay attention to that part.
Oh.
I only paid attention to the young
part. That was amazing. And only Dylan McDermott was here as a hot redhead, right?
Great. You know what? I don't remember. He wept at the window. I quit watching. That's it.
I'm out.
Sleepy Hollow, I like that better.
Yeah.
And even that, in some ways, is a little bit scarier than the X-Files could ever manage to do.
Well, everything now is scary. But you know what? You got to give props. Like, they paved the way for, like, all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, X-Files is the reason that we have shows like Walking Dead and, like, Fringe and,
Yeah.
All that.
Oh, Fringe was good.
It was great.
That just broke my heart that it got so short. I wanted longer.
But you know what? It's like, I think it was a little bit ahead of its time. Couldn't really find its audience or whatever,
No, but at least it got 5 seasons, for hell's sake. Not like Firefly.
Yeah. It did well, and it's well-regarded. People like it.
Yeah, it got a little weird there at the end. It felt a little time-travel-y.
It was extremely time-travel. They only went forward. They didn't go back, which is cool.
Thank God. Because that was what ruined Heroes.
Oh, don't get me started on that show.
Have you watched Heroes in a marathon yet? Have you binge-watched it?
Can't do that.
It's fantastic. In a binge, when you don't have to wait a week and you could just kind of eat them all up at the same time, it's much better.
You loving it?
I liked it better. I didn't love it per se. Because I got to tell you, Hayden Panieri just crawls up the backside of my skull. Just drives me nuts. You should have let her die. Peter Petrelli, you little shit. And then, Peter Petrelli or Rocky's kid.
Yeah, Rocky's kid. I forgot that. That's right. You played Rocky's son.
Let me throw that out. And then we'll get back to your career. That Rocky Balboa movie, that last one,
yeah,
it was good.
I didn't see that one.
Oh, it made 3 and 4 silly. I think it was the 5th one. Oh, it was
probably
actually,
because of 3 and 4.
Yeah.
4 and 5.
Because don't get me wrong, Ivan Drago was all badass. And then there was 5, which was the girl boxer one.
I didn't watch that one either.
I don't recall. But I did. I saw the new Rambo.
Yeah. Did you see the Rambo?
I saw that with old Rambo. And there's that there's that scene where he shoots the guy in the face with a 50 cal at like a foot and a half.
Whoa.
It was really very well done.
Wow. Imagine. I
just
could imagine.
A fine red mist the head turned into. And I watched that and I went, you know, for a throwback, for a resurrection of a character that should have died, that was pretty good. I think I'll watch Rocky Balboa and see if it was good too. And it really was. It was sad, tired, semi-retarded boxer, you know, trying to run a restaurant and feeling the call. And then he keeps running into his kid, and his kid's an accountant of all things. And they have an argument with their little...
training his kid to fight? Is that what he's doing?
No. They just run into each other. And it's like the kid's like, you're my embarrassing, brain-damaged father who can't move on with his life. And I'm an accountant. Will you please?
Sounds like a sad movie.
It was very sad. It was emotional and touching, like the first one.
It's kind of like The Wrestler, basically.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen The Wrestler?
And yet, I know I should, but I've met Marissa Tomei, and I don't want to give her money.
What?
She's a lunatic. She's an absolute lunatic.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so you're out in New York. You made... You drew, you animated and directed Ice Age.
No. Just, I was just the cog, my friend.
Were you in the charge of the guy who was doing drawing the acorn?
Yes. Yeah. Bits of animations. I think I made the scratch tail. Like I was in charge of the overlap on the scratch tail.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I worked there. It's really funny. Like, so on Ice Age, like, once I was done with that, everyone kind of got, like, they laid off, like, 70% of the people.
Yeah.
They kind of thought that, I think they thought it was going to bomb. But they were like, okay, sorry, we don't think, and then it turned out to be, like, this huge hit, basically. And, they, like, I was one of the first people to brought back, and I worked on, after that, I worked on, like, Robots, then I worked on...
I loved that movie!
That was like...
It's Ewan McGregor.
Yes.
I've watched nearly everything he's been in.
I worked on that. I worked on the story on that one as well. So I animated on that, and I helped out a little bit on story on that one. And then I worked on Horton Hears a Who. But actually,
okay.
I worked on the... so they did this pitch to Dr. Seuss's...
Estate?
Yes.
Okay.
And I worked on the animation for that because, like, I think they were like, they wanted, like, they were like, you know, we kind of tried the Hollywood thing. We're not sure about it.
Was this pre or post Jim Carrey being involved in a Seuss thing?
Post.
That's why they were wearing. All I know is I want to immunize my children, and we made that damn movie.
Yeah. Well, so we did this test, and they loved it, and then they, you know, Horton came through and it was awesome. Did really well. But around this time, I started working on story on a movie that would come out just recently called Epic.
I just watched that.
Yeah.
I just watched that this weekend on HBO Go.
I worked a little bit on that one. And around that time, I got a lead on a position at Pixar. And I was like, you know, that's like, you know, school standard. So I had to go there, you know. My friend was like, I've been fighting to get back to the story department. And my friend was like, yeah, I know you just got in the story, but Pixar's hiring animators. And I'm like, I really want to work there really bad.
Wanted your own tough shed in the animator corral. If I recall my documentary correctly.
And I tried several times in the past, like and it's, you know, it's a tough place to get in.
Well, you and I have flirted a little bit online.
Yes.
And I went on to your hiring thinking, okay, even though the most talented sons of bitches in the world work out there with the drawing and the story and all that, they've got to need advertising guys. I've been doing that since I was 8 years old. And it turns out that even at my best, my resume, I can't be a security guard at Pixar. So, I mean, that's a big deal, you getting on, you know, down there in that house.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. And it's funny. I remember when I went to interview, I was like, you know what? They invited me over. I went to an interview. It was like this all day thing. And I saw a couple of friends, and the friend's like, hey, we're working on this movie. It's called Ratatouille. You got to check it out. And he's like, I think it might be the movie you might work on. And I remember he's showing me a shot. And I was like, yeah. And inside, I'm like screaming, I can't do this. I was like, what am I going to do? You know, like I was kind of freaking out. So there's a part of me that's like, you know what? Yeah, it was cool. I applied for it. That's, you know, that's all I can ask for. You know, at least I could say that, like, you know, I made it as far as the interview. And sure enough, they called me like a few days later, offered me a position. And Ratatouille's first movie I worked on over there. And it was seriously like amazing. It was an amazing experience. It's great.
Well, they've got their own proprietary software, don't they?
Yes, they do.
The Pixar animating computer thingamajig. This is an After Effects, ladies and gentlemen. Because that's what I do most of my work, sir.
It's powerful software, my friend.
Fuck that, I'm a template junkie. It's a tool I use in my marketing career.
Good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
Like I said, you guys, all the guys I tooled around with in Denver for the most part were all talented guys, all of you. But somebody has to sell the boxes that your shit comes in. That's what I do. I can't draw. I'm a hell of a story guy, but I can't do anything about it. So I can sell your stuff. So real quick, I want to throw in a plug. I have over here on my shelf, Mr. Scribbles, your book that you were selling at Comic-Con a couple years ago.
My sketchbook.
And by when I say Comic-Con, I don't mean one of these provincial out in the boons Comic-Cons. You're down in Artist Alley at the San Diego.
Yes.
And a friend of mine went down there, Megan Risben, and she's like, hey, I'm going to Comic-Con. And I called her a bitch. And she said, is there anything you want me to do? I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I have an old friend of mine from Denver. He's working out in Artist Alley. He's got a comic book called Mojo, number one, was all you had out then.
Yes.
What do you got out now?
Two? Number two is out.
Yay.
It's finally out. Took me forever.
Yeah. You're a busy guy. You're making the toy stories and stuff. So I sent her out there and I said, so give me that. And then anything else you sell and just buy it for me and I'll pay you back. And so she did. She fought her way to Artist Alley, which it turns out isn't even in the convention center. It's like across the street or something.
Well, it wasn't even at Artist Alley. It was at Trickster, and Trickster was like it's this event that's hosted by a few guys, a few Pixar guys, and it's basically like, you know, the Comic-Con's like a huge thing. It's a big thing.
Yeah,
a lot of like major. Comic book companies are there, but a lot of times, like, you know, the smaller indie guys can kind of get like lost in the cacophony, right? There's a lot of stuff going on. And Trickster is a way. It's just kind of like when you step out of Comic Con, you can step out of Trickster, you can meet other comic book artists and writers and that sort of thing. And they had like a lot of lectures going on and stuff like that, so people could like connect with others, and it was great. It was really awesome. And that's where I was selling my stuff. So,
as far as I'm concerned, you were attached, personally invited by Johnny Comic-Con himself. So she tracked you down.
No, I paid lots of money.
Yeah.
To get a table there.
I have little doubt of that. We did the Salt Lake City Comic-Con. Ended up running me total about $3,200.
Oh, okay.
And we were all expecting about 10,000 to 12,000 people. This was the first time. Was just this last September. We got 80,000.
Wow.
We did not have enough space.
Yeah.
So the half day Friday that they opened at 3 p.m. and went till 8 o'clock at night was crowded as hell. And I was like, wow, this is a pretty big crowd. There's at least 15,000 people. And the guy who paid the franchise fee for this must be very happy. And then that was, I think that was Thursday night, and then there was Friday all day.
It was the first one?
Yeah, it was our first one. And then the last one was Saturday. We went over capacity for the entire convention center. They had to turn thousands of people away at the door, including folks that were supposed to be in working my booth as vendors. The fire marshal wouldn't let them.
Wow.
And that was, so that was great. That was $3,200 bucks well spent.
Awesome.
Now, however, if I want back in, I have to pay the going rate.
So it'd be pretty difficult.
We're going to try and moderate some panels instead.
That'd be awesome.
Sort of.
Maybe I have to like come down for that.
I'm no Chris Hardwick, but goddamn, I want to be. Son of a bitch. Okay, so you end up at the Pixar. I believe you wrote and directed Toy Story 2 and 3.
No.
Cars?
Another cog. I'm just a cog. Cars just a cog in the wheel, my friend.
Yeah, but you made it from the tough shed corral out to the outer ring, as I recall. And you got to decorate your office with the legendary fight scene between Wolverine and the Silver Samurai.
Yes.
Which
that was fun.
Partially bastardized by that new film.
That was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I missed that office. Because, you know, once I changed departments, I had to share my office with somebody. So I couldn't have, like, I had this great setup. I had my black action figure collection, which was amazing. And my Wolverine, like.
Did you say action figure collection or did you say black action figuring collection?
Black action figure collection.
So what's in that? You got obviously Luke Cage, which we talked about before.
Luke Cage is definitely in there. My black action figure collection is like.
The Falcon.
So he's in there. He's in there.
50s Falcon. Bucky.
I don't have him.
Okay.
I wish I did. That would be amazing.
That would be worth a lot.
Candyman. Candyman is in there.
All right.
Yeah. I got.
That's McFarlane, wasn't it?
Candyman? Yes. Yeah. Very good.
McFarlane toys.
Yeah. That's a great. That's a good one. Well made. I got like two Morpheuses. You know.
From
Matrix. The Matrix.
Yes.
Yeah. I got a lot of stuff.
I didn't really
make Cyborg.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. From Teen Titans.
It's actually saddening me again, and we, on my comic book show, Hold 322 at Hold322.com, drops every Tuesday, as a matter of fact, we talk a lot about the problems with minority superheroes and women superheroes. The boob window for Power Girl is a point of contention in that, hey, if they put her in that costume, girls will dress like that at the conventions, and that is good. But I have daughters,
right?
And I don't want them to think they need to. Oh, I'm confused. And then we went through, and they did. I think they did a thing with Luke Cage not too long ago. They did sort of. I think it was 2 years ago, right before Marvel Now. Before Marvel Now, and no, we really mean it now. And they did some one-offs of some of the old Avengers team, and one of them was a Luke Cage one-off, and it was sort of his, and it was written as though Stan Lee himself had painted on blackface and stood screaming at his mirror to try and get the voice right before he wrote the bubbles. And I hated it. And the argument, that you'll like this, the two white guys in the room had, is he's like, yeah, but we need more minority faces in superheroes. And I'm like, yeah, but do they have to write them like it's a fucking Shaft movie? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, Luke Cage is a badass. He owns a mansion now. And he might not be the smartest guy because he didn't figure out his property taxes on the Avengers mansion. But, you know, I want to see it's sort of the way you pitched the Falcon to me a few years ago.
Oh.
You know?
I think there's a lot of like potential for like to do some really, really cool stuff. Like there was some stuff I was looking at. Have you seen the new Miss Marvel?
You know what? It's right here.
Oh.
In my stack.
Yeah,
I haven't read it because I got stuck in some Brandon Sanderson and he's long.
Yeah, I think there's like a lot of potential to do some really, really cool stuff. I think that, you know, just need to hire some more minority writers over there.
And not the Guatemalans that are getting paid pennies per page, though. Unless they're going to pay them real. What about Baz? Did you read any Baz? The Green Lantern with the broken ring?
Oh, I never read that because
it was pretty good.
The first cover put me off.
The first cover was awful.
It
was really fun watching a guy have to deal with a broken lantern ring.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, his lantern ring was fucked up. It got hurt when it was trying to find him, and it ended up on him. And because Hal Jordan and Sinestro were in the negative universe, and the ring escaped, both of their rings escaped, squished into one, and then went and pulled Baz out of prison. It was pretty good, to be honest.
That's amazing.
I read it seven issues deep until the typical, the Green Lantern curse is that most Green Lantern comics suck after about six episodes.
It's sad. I don't know what the deal with that is.
It's based on a stupid poem. Brightest day and darkest night.
Yeah.
Every time I hear that poem, I'm like, I hate the Green Lantern.
All they have to do, if you ever feel yourself kind of going off the rails, all you have to do is just remember this to me. Green Lantern, just think he's just a space cop. He's just keep it simple and make it about him being a space cop. Then you can't go wrong.
Give him a David Caruso CSI Miami bit.
Yeah.
That's two pages you're burning off right there. You got 20 to go. Don't dig it up. Do a procedural.
It's so good, man. Mm-hmm. I know. It could be awesome. It could be amazing.
That was there was a Gutters. Do you ever read the Gutters?
I do. I read them. Yeah.
The one where it's like six panels of Green Lantern chasing a missile and then just stopping and it hits the planet. And the guy's like, what was that for? He's like, out of my jurisdiction. That's one of the best parts of the Green Lantern for me. It's like, not only are you stuck in your jurisdiction, you will not cross that line. It's like, well, that's kind of dickish, you little midgets. What? Because I don't know if I talked to you about this or not a couple of years ago. A buddy of mine, and I are very slowly. And if somebody steals this idea, they're welcome to it, because I got to tell you, I am so out of my depth. But you remember, you've read about Baz Reeves, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes. It started out working on a screenplay about him.
That needs me to be so bad.
Yeah. And it's got to be a movie, and it can't star Mario Van Peebles. So.
No. I say Idris Elba, man. That's just me.
Oh.
Come on. Yeah. That would be an amazing movie.
I finally watched Luther.
It's good stuff, right?
And then after Luther, I went back and watched Pacific Rim again. Mm-hmm. And that scene where the little Australian dude grabs him and he spins around.
Yeah.
It does that don't touch me look.
Yeah.
Was so much more meaningful after watching Luther. I'm just like, oh, how did you touch him? What's the matter with you? Yeah. That's so bad. Thor's my thing, you know, but him as Heimdall is so fucking good.
Yeah.
What brilliant casting. Somebody needs to go and kiss Kenneth Branagh on the mouth.
Yeah. Well, I actually I love that he is Heimdall, and I don't, because I feel like he's kind of played his Marvel card, because I would have loved to seen him as Black Panther personally. I think he would be really great. I think he's got the bearing. I think he's got the, you know.
Shit, you're right.
Yeah.
What about what's his name that we were just talking about before we started recording for 12 Years of Slave? I can't see it. He'd be a good Black Panther.
He could. And like we said, he was the assassin in Serenity, right?
Because Terry Crews has to be Luke Cage.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Yes. Someone else agrees. No, he is.
Who the hell else could do that? Michael Clark Duncan's dead.
Yeah. I think Terry Crews is like, he comes off as comedy, but man, it's too good. He's too good.
Have you been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yes, I love that show.
I think Terry Crews, there's an actor in him that no one's seen yet. And I think
I think so too.
Absolutely. And if they play off something with Luke Cage, with the slightly skewed flavor of like what it looks like Guardians of the Galaxy is going to do.
Yeah.
He'd be
They could do something pretty awesome. I think I think it could be amazing, you know. But I don't know if they want to go that route for him. They probably want
He's getting old.
Yeah,
he's probably only going to have two or three in him.
They probably want somebody younger.
I don't give a shit. I think he'd be wonderful. I think he'd be fantastic.
There was a rumor going around that Dwayne Johnson was up for it, but I think that rumor's passed.
I could see it. He's got the build. He's a much better actor than he used to be.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like it's an inevitability. Like, it has to happen. A Luke Cage movie has to happen.
Well, no, it's not. He's getting a series on the Netflix.
Oh, that's right.
One of the four series.
Oh, that's right. And they haven't announced who they've cast yet.
No, but Terry Crews popped up and said, I want it.
I'm free. Just so you know. Power.
That's another dude. Who's that dude? Is the Old Spice guy?
Name? He wanted to do.
He was all the shit 2 years ago.
Isaiah.
Yeah, something like that. He was a football player, wasn't he?
I'm spacing out his last name. Yeah, man. Like, he wanted to do it. He made a little thing about it. He wanted to really do it, but I don't think he fits the. Like, he's not as
Black Panther
is meaty. Yeah, I think he'd be better. You know who I think would actually, but he's a little older now.
Isaiah Mustafa.
Yes. That's him. That's him.
Yeah, he could do Black Panther easy.
Him.
I got to tell you, he's a good looking fella. He's easier on the eyes than Terry Crews. I'll tell you that right now. Terry Crews, I got to admit, scares the shit out of me. Can you imagine going for a beer with Terry Crews?
You should look up like Terry Crews gifts. And there's some amazing ones out there. It's great.
Oh, I don't doubt it. But it's like Terry Crews. It's like somebody goes, "Hey, we're going out for beers with Terry Crews. Would you not make sure you had like the number for a bail bondsman in your pocket before you left the house?"
I would definitely be texting a couple people if I don't show up. A certain time tomorrow, assume the worst, track me down. Something bad is definitely
Terry Crews and I. We invaded Baja.
All you need to know is I went out and Terry Crews is involved. So,
all right, tell me,
yes,
let's wander away from what we wish. To tell me about Mojo for a little bit.
Ooh, Mojo. So Mojo is a comic book that I created. I like to call it, it's an urban fantasy. It's a story. It takes place modern day, but it's a modern day. It's an alternate reality where magic is real. It's like,
right.
It's this new thing that's come into the world. And, it's about a young girl. Her name is Creepy. Her name's Lucretia, but all of her friends, she doesn't have a lot of friends, but all of her friends call her Creepy. And
let me just throw this out here as a guy who's written stories.
Yeah.
Okay. That was well done. Cause names are fucking hard. And that you got the first name and then the nickname all patched together that well. I salute you, sir.
I worked really hard on that. I worked.
It came to you in the middle of a poop, didn't it? Hey, that'll work.
I was showering.
All right. Everybody poops, Everett.
It's about a young runaway street witch who literally has this thing. It's a cement golem. It literally drops into her life. She doesn't know where it came from, what its origins are. Like, it's animated, and it has no recollection of.
Did he get loose from a bar mitzvah? where does a young street magician find a golem?
It literally like drops in. Like, she's being harassed by these local local gang members, and he literally drops in on her, saves her life, but he kind of like draws her into this like. Intrigue, like when he asked her to help find out his origins. And it's about, you know, I say what it's really about is about is a story about two lost souls searching to kind of find themselves. You know what I mean? So it's I've been working on it for a while.
Well, when we kicked off Hold 322, our first episode,
yes,
I did a commercial for you.
Yeah, which was amazing. I play that anytime I was slacking off on book two.
It's book two is on its way.
Yeah. Crap. All right, now I really got to do this.
No. Now, here's the thing. At that same time, I also announced, and I do not compare the two, because writing and drawing a comic is hard.
It's difficult.
Yeah, I can kind of do Batman now, and it's been, 22 years since you taught me how? And honest to God, if anybody thinks I'm kidding, we sat at a coffee shop, and he spent an hour trying to teach me how to draw Batman's head.
It's just a bunch of triangles. It's just a bunch of triangles.
And I still can't get it. You know, I get the nose. You taught me how to do noses, chins, and lips, and I can do that, but I can't get the fucking eyes to go right. So, but at the same time, I announced a new podcast I was kicking off when we started that show, and this is its sixth episode.
Whoa.
So it takes a while sometimes. You get shit to do. I got kids to feed, man.
I know the feeling, man. Like, I feel like, you know, I've written that whole story arc for Mojo.
Yeah.
And good stuff's coming up. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff's happened, but the really cool, juicy stuff's coming up. And it's just like finding that time to get in the lab and work on my evil creations.
Now, do you, with Mojo, are you on paper or are you doing that on the
digital? It's all digital. What I usually do, actually, is I like to like thumbnail it. So I'll thumbnail it on paper. And then what I've been doing recently is, like, I don't even scan it anymore. I just kind of, like, take my iPad and I just take pictures of it and just, you know, put it into my Dropbox. And then I pull it in Photoshop. And actually, now I work in Manga Studio. I used to work in Photoshop. I love Photoshop.
Yeah.
But Manga Studio has some really, really nice brushes. So I bring it in there, make it look all fancy.
Manga Studio?
Manga Studio.
What does that cost?
If I may ask. So there's two versions. There's the EX version, which is like the light version, I believe.
Yeah.
You can look that up. I'm probably wrong. I probably got it mixed up. But the EX version is like, I want to say it's like $99.
Huh. Bucks. That's cheaper in Photoshop.
Right. And then the full version is like $6.99. But no, wait. I think I'm wrong. No, that's about right. I'm going to look it up on the internet. But when I bought it, it was kind of on sale. So I love it. I think it's...
You got to look at that picture I just sent you.
Oh, let's see. I got to see this. Where is it?
Because I do. I bought a tablet to teach myself how to draw on the computer.
You just sent me something?
Yeah, on the GChat.
Oh, okay. There it is. Oh, there it is. It's coming up.
Yeah?
Yes. Okay. See, this is what I'm talking about.
It's like he spent his life basically sculpting himself for that picture.
It's amazing.
And then what's Luke Cage's wife's name? I can't remember.
Jessica.
Because who plays Jessica?
You know what?
Doesn't matter.
I don't know. Jessica Jones is her name.
Yeah.
Of
course she is. I believe she was named by Stan Lee. If it's not an alliteration.
I don't know who I would cast as her, to be honest with you.
See, these are the gotcha questions.
Yeah, that's a tricky one.
Well, I'm gonna look up Manga Studio.
What's that?
Is it good for somebody Manga like Studio. Me? Is it good for photo manipulation shit, or should I just stick with Photoshop?
It's straight up for drawing. It's like, you know, comics and manga, that sort of thing. Can't really do any. Well, I don't know. I don't want to like say something and then be wrong about it, but I think it's awesome. It's got some amazing brushes and, like it's like super responsive. And I almost said the wrong, I was thinking about Photoshop. It's actually like $200 basically.
Okay.
And the studio and the other version, it's EX. I was wrong. EX is the version that I have. It's like the awesome version. And then, not that the other one isn't awesome. It's just like limited.
Well, it's like the difference between Photoshop and you know, light.
Exactly.
Light box or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, or whatever. And the other version, so Mega Studio 5 is like $50 basically.
Uh-huh.
And then Mega Studio 5 EX, which is like the quote unquote pro version.
Because I got this.
There it is. See, it's good stuff.
Tony Leonard helped me pick this, and it was in my price range. And again, what it comes down to is, you know, I'm trying to teach myself how to draw.
It's good stuff, man. I can send you lots of links, man.
The reason I am teaching myself how to, here it comes. Here comes the attack. The reason I'm teaching myself how to draw is because all of the talented pencil jockeys right now are too fucking busy for my stuff.
Here we go.
Damian Hutchinson is too busy for my stuff. He teaches it at art school, for Christ's
sake.
What does he have to do? Write stories about his cats. By the way, he's writing a novel about his cat.
He is?
It's pretty fucking good. I don't know. Because we were talking, I talked to him, I think, last episode.
Okay. Back,
and we were talking about role-playing out on the porch, playing Cabal.
Nice.
Me, you, him. Oh,
yes.
Lauren, Carrie Schreck.
Yeah.
And that brilliant game that I don't, did Lauren ever do anything with it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that was wonderful. It's when I found out how you got to terminal velocity. I learned that from playing that game. You fall. You fall at 32 feet per second until you hit terminal velocity. I'm like, not until I hit the ground? I'm not sure. I have an English degree, Lauren. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That game was ridiculous. That game was so ridiculous. I just remember these impact rolls that we would get. Roll for impact. See how much impact you have. Oh, okay. You roll. Oh, and it goes at, you rolled a 99%. Keep rolling. You hit him with a 600% impact. Like, so his head explodes. Like, okay, so I have to make a new character. Okay, that's great.
But that was the fun, was having it, you was and Damian and basically just sketching these out as we went. And being able to do something insane role-play-wise and then be able to see a picture of it within 10 minutes. And so every time I think about, hey, I want to, you know, work on this comic, and I have one I'm working on right now. I think about you or Damian or Tony or Pete to some extent, but he's all computers now.
And, you know, hard man to nail down.
Yeah, he's such a prima donna anyway. And where's he living? Brooklyn?
Hey, what a Jersey. Dick. Jersey. Jersey City.
No.
Yeah.
When did he? Because he was in a borough before, was he not? Not too long ago.
He's always lived in. He's been in Jersey City for a while now.
That lion sack.
He's a Jersey boy.
Okay. I thought he told me. Nah, I'm pretty sure. I will go back to the record and find out. But I was pretty sure he told me he was either Harlem or Brooklyn. Where was the big comic book shop?
Yes, maybe it was Brooklyn. But that was a long time ago.
True.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
And I don't know if you read the explanation or not, but I have no working linear timeline in my head anymore. So everything is either a vague memory or it feels like yesterday. So
either. I can't actually access a lot of those files personally in my brain. So it isn't until you mention them that I'm like, yep, I remember that now.
Maybe that's just
just recall that stuff.
Yeah, it's traumatic brain injury. I'm not kidding.
I've read the article where, like, you just forget stuff to keep saying.
I just read that today, too. And I'm like, yeah. But it's driving me nuts. I can't remember shit, too. So which psychoses am I going to wrap around until I turn in?
It made me think, like, maybe I'm just really mentally, they have a lot of issues because I'm forgetting a lot of stuff. Brain's no, throw that out, too. We're trying to keep this guy.
Yeah. Because after you guys left town, things went left for me, and I broke my neck in a car accident. I got hit by a drunk driver. It's right after I had signed my paperwork to join the Marine Corps. Spent a year or so learning how to walk, and then to prove to myself, sir, that I was a man, I went and worked at places where Ken Walters got me jobs. So...
Wow. Glutton for punishment.
I'm a bouncer. I went from having, when you guys knew me, I had a 20-inch neck. When I got out of my neck braces and all of that, I had a 14-inch neck.
Wow.
Yes. And if I recall correctly, it's about... Anyway, so... Oh, you got somebody in there? They could say hi. It's like, I'm not professional. Hello?
He's
do I need to not
he's
swear? Is it a child or is it your wife?
It's my wife.
Hello, wife.
She ran.
Oh, all right.
She just peeked in and she heard us talking. She took off.
Fair enough. Anyway, I have a lot of memory problems because I got hit in the head a whole bunch. And so I'm having this thing where somebody will say something or I'll see a picture and it will trigger like months of memories. And I'm also finding out from fellas my own age that to a slightly lesser extent, this is happening to all of us.
Oh yeah.
And my father, however, who is now nearly 80, 79 years old, he still remembers shit from back then. And I'm wondering if it's because he never ingested things that were illegal or bad for him.
Either bad or he just didn't have access to the internet.
Oh, I can tell you what I looked at on Tumblr the last 3 days.
He had to remember stuff.
Yes.
Otherwise, like, you don't have to remember stuff. Like, we have got so many things that record everything. Like, why do we have to? I don't have to remember anything. I feel proud of myself when I memorize like 5 passwords. I'm like, man, yes, that's good.
You add 5, I'm done. It's all gone. I do. And one of the things I have at work makes me change my password every 6 weeks. Oh my God. And then it's 6 weeks of trying to remember what the hell my password is until it expires again and I have to go to another one.
That sounds like a really great idea, but that would drive me nuts.
Well, the worst thing is I'll look at something on my desk and go, yeah, that'll work. But my desk is never the same from minute to minute. So, and you can only, Thor is not long enough for a password. Volstagg, once you use it, it's gone. So, all right. So you're in the Bay Area now.
I am.
Like, are you on the fancy side or did you move out to like the Obispo or?
I'm in Oakland.
Oh.
Oakland, California.
Okay.
O-Town. Yeah.
Is it not dangerous there anymore?
What's that?
Is it not dangerous there anymore?
Of course it is. it depends on what neighborhood you are, but not really.
First time in my life I got mugged was in Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Where were you?
I have no idea. We were a bunch of white kids visiting San Francisco from Utah, and we got lost, and the rental car broke.
Oh.
And so everybody was at a gas station, and I went around to the back because they were all Mormons. I went around back to have a cigarette, and the guy took all the money in my wallet and half of my cigarettes. He was cool enough not to take all of my smoke.
I want to see that conversation.
He's like,
give me cigarettes, man.
Yeah,
all
give me
my
cigarettes.
Cigarettes?
Come on, not all of them. Come on, man. I'm 17. Give me half. Okay. That sounds like a bargain, sir. And
that guy was pretty cool. He's pretty cool.
And the second time I got mugged was in Sacramento. Same trip. Same trip.
You kidding me?
No. I've been mugged 3 times in my life. Twice in California, once in Colorado. The one in Colorado was terrifying. I was at the check cashing place on Colfax, just down from the Ogden.
Oh, to Colfax. There it is. Ding, 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 ding.
And I come walking out. And I was working, you'll like this. I was driving the delivery van for Lickety Split. It was over on 14th, 13th. Regardless. I had gotten paid. And I was working for Vince the Ice Cream Prince over at the Lickety Split. And my paycheck was like $211.
Wow.
Yeah, because we used to make that shitty money. I remember it was, we'll give you $7 an hour. And I remember at the time going, fuck yeah, $7 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I've hidden the money. So I can walk it out. Two dudes.
Yeah.
Two dudes.
That was good money.
Give me what you got. paying over $211, and I'm pretty sure they still took it, but I'm pretty sure they felt sorry for me while they went. They're like, wow, you almost need this more than we do. I mean, it was just that bad. And the cops came, and they're like, how much did they take? I'm like, $211. That's it? Like, do I have a shit job, or is this something you guys aren't telling me? I play in a band, and, you know, I deliver ice cream. My needs are pretty easily met. All right. So Mojo 2's out. Where can people buy these?
You can go to... actually, you know what? I have to... Also, you can go to the site. You can go to www.bookofmojo.com.
That's right.
And there should be a store up there, and you should be able to get like both books. Or there will be a store.
Is that three
up there.
W's, you say?
You made me realize that I didn't. I just recently switched where I host it, so I have to put my store back up again. So
you've got till Thursday. This drops on Thursday.
It'll happen. It'll happen before that.
Oh, there you are. Oh, it's a tumbler.
Yes. But the store will be up. It'll be there.
Okay. Like I said, it's Tuesday night when we record this. No, it's Monday night.
It's Monday.
I got all the time in the world, sir.
Yeah, I got plenty of time. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
So you got married when?
Oh, man. I got married in 2001. 2000.
Okay. And you were in California then?
No.
No.
I was in New York.
Oh, okay.
So I met my wife in Chicago when I was working Big Idea, and I had been working at I've been working at Blue Sky for a year, and then I went back to Chicago for the wedding. And I took her with me back to New York. So
voluntarily.
But, oh yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, okay. Semi-voluntarily.
You're coming with me.
That was a tough move for her. She pretty much grew up in Chicago, and you know, New York was a big move for her, but she got used to it.
Probably not as big as me going from Pleasant Grove, Utah to Denver. I'm just saying.
Well,
Chicago's pretty big.
Not.
I've been there a couple times. I don't know if you know this or not, but there are black people in Chicago. There were none in Pleasant Grove, Utah. Because you were. Not to toot my own diversity horn, sir. You were my first real black friend.
Yeah.
And you were very tolerant.
I was.
You let me borrow your Cindy
entertaining, though. That
Crawford
was
Playboy. Well, and then who had been your roommate before that had the cat pee mattress I was sleeping on when I was there?
Oh, jeez. you remember that.
You know what? There are a few things. That was a really stinky mattress.
It was insane. It was completely insane.
Yeah.
Who was it? So Pete was staying with me for a little bit, but then there was someone before Pete.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even remember who it was. It was so short.
Well, then ended up moving about a block and a half down.
Yeah.
I moved in with a girl two houses over.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. In which I found out that I was not very good at dating women who weren't religious. She was fantastic. I mean, she was, I feel bad. I think, you know, I know I was an insensitive jerk off. I know I was, because I remember one day going, I don't like being this guy. I've got to be a different guy. And therefore in my head, everybody that came before, I had to have had some redeeming quality. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Like my hair and my guitar and, I'm not sure what
I was going to say. It was the guitar. Personally.
Yeah, I'll go with the guitar. But I do. No, I do remember you were very kind to me, sir. And you were just like, do you need somewhere to stay? And I said, yeah. And you're like, come on, I got a room. And it was, I think, I lived there for about a month, month and a half. And then
not
you guys all
long,
moved down to, was it Sherman or Lincoln? You were two blocks down.
No, sure.
Yeah. It was just down. It was just down the street.
Yeah, but it was still Sherman, though.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was further down on Sherman. It was crazy.
Because I ended up, yeah, I ended up with Willow and Marty.
Yeah.
Or Abraham, whatever you he goes by now. Lang.
Yep.
The man of the Doctor Who scarf. we know each other on Facebook.
I just know him from the hat and the scarf.
And he was Rorschach that Halloween. Yes. That first Halloween I was in Denver.
Yes.
And I didn't know who the fuck Rorschach was. I had no fucking idea. Just like, he's like, what do you think of this costume? I'm like, you're cool, like, dude.
It's great.
Where's this? You're wearing your trench coat. Where's your Doctor Who scarf?
Well, you had a weird thing on your face. Weird? I get it.
Oh, now, I don't know if Pete is going to listen to this or not. He was kind of a dick online the other day, as he's wont to do. So I just want to throw this out, and then we can move on past it. You remember that time he stepped on the kitten?
Oh, okay, man.
So if he listens, I want that to sting.
You'll know. If he jumps online and he starts cursing at you,
but he does that anyway. That's the problem.
That'll be the proof.
Yeah.
That'll be the proof that he listened.
Yeah. All right. So, you have been very kind to goof with me this last hour.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It has been. Because we haven't, honestly, we've done the G chat a little bit, but this is the first time we've talked since you guys moved to Chicago.
Yeah. Voices. It's been a while.
Yeah. And I just want you to know, the last two episodes I did with Damien and Ethan, Danielle listened to.
Oh.
Remember Daniel Donahue?
Yeah. Yep.
One of my favorite Paris on the Platte-esque pictures is of you two,
yes.
As I recall.
Yes.
Those were the days, man.
It was, man. It's great.
I hate to look back and whine about what's not there anymore, but 5 points isn't 5 points anymore. Muddy's is gone. Last time I was in Paris on the Platte, the bookstore was a wine thing, you know.
Really?
They still had the overpriced cheese thing.
Yes.
Tray, platter thing. The coffee was awful. It was very sad.
That's very, very sad.
But I'm pretty sure the furniture's all the same, though.
I ran to Inez, actually. Like, I was out in San Diego, and we hung out. I met her little girl, and it was great. We had a great time.
I know her on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
And she still looks like the happiest person on the planet.
She's awesome.
She really was. I don't know her now, but she still looks just delightful.
She's like super, like way more savvy than she. Not saying that she wasn't savvy, but you know, Inez is very bubbly, you know. And I remember when I stepped up to her, like she had this look in her eye, like I've seen things, you know. And I was like, oh man, this is like a different Inez, you know. Like,
she,
but it was great. It was great.
She had and has.
Yes.
There's something. There is something nearly perfect about the way she smiles and her whole face gets into it. And I remember that back then, because I always just liked talking to her, because I always walked away from any conversation, either, can you wash the dishes faster, please? Any conversation I had with Inez, I always walked away like somehow having exchanged words with this woman, or girl at the time, let's be honest, for all of us. You know, the world is a brighter place. And I would talk to Danielle, and it was just like, she's better than me. And I would talk to Kiri, and it's like, she's smarter than me. That particular group of women were the first batch of girls I met when I got to Denver. And so the first group of people I knew were all from that place.
Yeah.
I loved Muddy's for the atmosphere, the shitty carpet, the books. And I loved Paris on the Platte for the people I knew out there, like you and Pete and Jeff and Jason, the girls, all of that. Even Serena.
Yeah, we got to mention there was Jody.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. I love Jody. There was, don't forget, Rainia. Yeah.
Thank you.
Rainia was awesome, dude.
Yes.
She was like Adventure Time chick, man. She was awesome.
Yeah.
And then Justine.
Yeah. Now, they don't know me very well.
She was amazing.
Because they were peripheral, and I was pretty temporary there. Because I believe I went from Paris on the Platte right to, oh hell, what was that theater?
Oh,
the Mayan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me? Talking about me?
Me? I did. Man, I ended up working at the movie theater for $4.25 an hour.
Other way. I started at the Mayan, then I flipped over to.
Because you remember Hope McDonald.
Yeah, of course.
Ugh.
Of course.
She was another one where I would talk to her and walk away feeling like I had just come off the bottom of a shoe. Just, oh, she was in my head at that time. She was one of those, she was one of the mythicals where you just look at her and go, yeah, I don't have a shot. This is totally pointless. And we're very friendly online now. She helped me out with a little situation I had in Denver not too long ago. She's just, and all of these people I know now are all fantastic. They're all still wonderful. Even you, sir.
Well, thank you.
Well, yeah. You're doing good. I mean, it's like I said, we haven't talked in 20 years, but fuck, I'm proud to know you. I get to brag to my kids. Hey, see that? See that cooking rat with Patton Oswalt? I don't know that. Did you get to meet Patton
Oswalt? He animated his arm.
He did the shadow over there.
Yeah.
I was watching, we're wrapping up, and I'm going to let you get back to your life, but I was watching a documentary the other day on Harryhausen.
Okay.
And they were kind of talking about how they'd gone from the stop motion models to the guys that do it now. And how each animation is broken down into different departments. And the guy that was talking about how impressed he was that animation still had its soul when it's not one guy doing the majority of the work and then a couple of people finishing up. And to the best of I can feel, from what I know, people I know that do what you do, not quite at your level, is it's because it's people like you that are good at it, still love it, give a shit. Because I know how good you were with story. I mean, you're a fantastic pencil jockey. You always have been. But you've always had a turn with story, too. And so you're one of the reasons, I think, that we were able to make a good transition from somebody like Harryhausen, one guy who walked through the entire goddamn thing from script to finish and edit, you know, to having some really good product now. I'm not talking about Cars 2. So... Which even my kids were like, did your friend work on that? No, he didn't. But I still remember being in Up and the credits roll. And when I'm that guy. I sit through the credits because those are the people that worked on a film. And I'm, you know, but I made them sit and watch until your name popped up. And I'm like, I know that guy. And my kids were so impressed. So thanks, man. I appreciate
thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
I feel extremely fortunate. I've led a really fortunate life career-wise, so that's good.
So far. There's more to come.
So far. There's more to come.
Thorne and Angus movie.
I'm working on it, man. I'm working on it. I'm still drawing Thorne. I got my Angus down. I got to work on that Thorne.
As I devolve, and we're going to have to quit recording in a sec because this is about to go pretty technical, but talking with Damien, I tried to remind him. He always drew Angus as like an ugly, you know, bent-backed this thing, and I'm like, you forget that he had the 20 roll on strength, the 20 roll on charisma, and I think it was a 4 on intelligence.
Yeah.
And so basically he was pretty, everybody liked him, and he was a psychopath who couldn't think through any action. And Lauren always made me play
full
him like
psychopath.
That. Yeah. I like to kill. And Lauren made me play him like that. He's like, remember, he's not very smart. He's Lenny from Mice and Men with a sword and more charisma. So your version of Angus has always been my favorite.
Yeah, I always draw him handsome. He's a handsome man.
Yeah, he's just kind of nuts. All right, well, I'm gonna stop recording. Hang on the line for a minute.
Yes,
and you and I can say goodbye off there. But thanks again. Go to bookofmojo.com. You can go through. You can look through book one when the store's open. Buy it. Even if you can read it online, buy it. Support your local artist. Is Mr. Scribble Sketchbook still available for purchase anywhere?
It is. It'll be on the store as well. So
okay. Just go to go to the site, bookamojo.com, and buy everything available once it's available. Okay? Quit screwing around. This is how we support one another, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah? Okay.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had.
It's awesome catching up with you, and it was fun doing this.
This is fun. This is a lot of fun. All right, brother. Back to California.